Appreciate it. If you guys have a Bible or an app or something, I want to turn to the book of Ephesians. It's a New Testament book. If you are new to Shadow Mountain, I want to say welcome. Glad you're here. I'm not the pastor. The pastor would be a Dodgers fan, so he would need prayer. I'm a Giants fan. He's also a Cowboys fan, so that's even a bigger issue, but we won't talk about that this morning. We're going to be spiritual Christians. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm so glad to be here with you guys this morning. You guys just took up an offering, and sometimes it's like, oh, we give every week. Brother Morris just mentioned how our teens went to camp, and I know we had, I believe it was two teens got saved from our church there at teen camp, and the reason why that was possible was because you give. And many of you guys don't even see their faces. If they walked in right now, you'd have no idea who those teens were. But there are teens right now that are on their way to heaven because the faithful folks of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church give faithfully week in and week out. And I want to say thank you for giving, because you are making a difference in ways you don't even know. But I'm so glad to be here this morning. Like Brother Moore said, I'm from Fairfield, California. I'm assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. Been there for almost 4 years now. So my name is Nate, and I hope to meet many of you guys out in the lobby afterwards. Some of you guys are friendly faces. I've met several of you before, and if I've forgotten your name, just bear with me. But I hope to meet several of you guys today after the service. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's just pray that God will help us this morning, because I've been in church services before where I've gotten nothing from it, and I don't want to waste your guys' time this morning, but I think that we have something we could talk about that's going to help us really on an emotional level. We're going to talk about something that a lot of times we don't address in times like these, and we want to, and let's pray for God's help. Lord, I ask you this morning, God, that I will just be your vessel. God, I pray for folks that are here. Maybe it's their first time they've come to Shadow Mountain. Thank you for bringing them. God, I think of folks that maybe they're newer here and they don't know a lot about what's going on. God, I pray your grace would be real to them. God, I pray that you would allow them to understand they're in a place where people love them and care about them. And Lord, as we talk about this matter of forgiveness, emotional forgiveness, I pray that you'd help us. God, we so need your help here. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was younger, when I was growing up, whenever I wanted something, I always asked my mom. I was fortunate enough to have a mom, a good mama and a good daddy. Didn't deserve them, but whenever I wanted something, I never asked my dad. You know, like I want to go to my friend's house, or I want to go, I need some money for something, or as long as I can remember, when I was just a little kid, I picked up probably about the age of 4 years old that dad is not the one to go to if you want money for the ice cream man. That's just a no-go, okay? And so every now and again, you know, you're a kid, you're growing up, you do dumb stuff. The dumb things I did was I asked dad instead of asking mom. So I go ask dad for something, and dad says, of course, the patent answer, no. Or if he says, I'll think about it, that means no. Or if he says, maybe, that's definitely a no. And when dad told me no, guess who I would go to and ask again? Yeah, I know. I'd go to mom. And you know, it's funny, but sometimes in life, when we don't get the answer we want, we have to go to somebody else. And sometimes when God gives us an answer we don't like, we often look for another solution. How many men do we have in this room? Men? Okay. How many real men do we have in this room? All right. I see John. John, come on up here. We're going to act like we didn't plan this before. Met John today. John, how old are you? How old are you again? 24. Awesome. I'm 25, so we're right around the same age. We're going to have John. We're going to illustrate some things. Got some dumbbells right here. John, do you work out much?
No, not really.
Not really? No. You had no idea you were going to come to church this morning, and you were going to get a workout. That's what we're going to do. By the way, we'll get to Ephesians 4 in just a minute, guys. Okay. So why don't you hold these weights, and I want you to hold them out just like this. Pretty good. You know, I actually didn't plan a message this morning. The whole plan was to come to church and see how long he can hold that. He's doing pretty good. Doing real well. About 20 seconds into this thing. Okay. Hey, let's give him a round of applause. He did really good. Stay up here, John. Question for you. How, and speak up so they can hear. How did it feel when you put those weights down?
I feel like I can push the mountain.
Felt like you can push the mountain. So would you say that it felt good to put those weights down?
Yeah, it did.
Good. Thanks, you guys. Give him a round of applause one more time. You did really good. When we attempt to carry things that God never intended us to carry, it holds us back. If John were to take these weights and try to walk around and walk out those doors, it would hinder him. He couldn't move forward because he was carrying something that God never intended him to carry. You know, sometimes in life, there are things that we carry that God never intended us to carry. And sometimes it holds us back and it prevents us from moving forward in life and experiencing the freedom that God has for us because we carry something God never intended us to carry. If you're in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read a couple of verses this morning. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." A couple years ago, I heard a Holocaust survivor by the name of Yanina Sawinska, and at the local community college where we're at in Fairfield, Solano College is called, she spoke, and she's well into her 80s, and she told the story of how her parents were killed by Nazis literally right in front of her face. She talked about how she was in a concentration camp for many years, and she was robbed of her childhood. She was mistreated in the cruelest ways you could ever imagine. We were in a theater filled with people. At the end of the session that she spoke to us, the lady came up, the teacher there, it was a classroom setting, and she said, "We got about 10 minutes for questions. Does anybody have questions?" Hands just went up all over the place. She had spoken for about 30 minutes. Another question was brought up that I'll never forget. A guy halfway towards the back of the middle raised his hand and said, "Yanina, do you forgive the people that did these terrible things to you?" The room was dead quiet. She had just told her story, and it was unbelievably pain. Like, as you hear it, you're just feeling the pain. She stopped, and she looked up. She said, "Yes, I forgive them." The next statement she said, I will never forget. She said, "I forgive them. Because forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for me." Yanina understood this principle, that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get hurt. This morning, I just want to share some truths about forgiveness and how we can forgive emotionally. But before we do that, we got to talk about what forgiveness is not. Number one, what forgiveness is not. I think there's an outline in your bulletin if you're taking notes. First thing, forgiveness is not. We have a lot of things in our minds. We think of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not getting over it. Have you ever been wronged by somebody, and maybe you share the incident with maybe a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend or something, and they look at you and they say, "Get over it. Stop thinking about it. It's not a big deal. You're being a big, fat baby. Suck it up." Sometimes it's very hard to get over things. Can we just be real? Like, we're a family here. Sometimes it's very difficult to get over things. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Have you ever tried really, really hard to forget about something that happened, but you just can't forget about it? You know why you can't forget? Because it happened. You know why you can't forget about that terrible thing that happened to you? Because it happened to you. I'm asking you to do something very uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you, in your mind, I want you to think about a time when you were hurt. Maybe you've swept it under the rug and you've said, I'm never going back to that place again. I'm not thinking about it again. It's over there. It's in my past. Happened 20 years ago. Happened 40 years ago. That divorce, I put it behind me. That time when I was mistreated, I was abused, I'm not thinking about that anymore, okay? Just trust me, because what we're going to have to do is before we're going to get victory over something, we have to address the problem that we have to get victory over. If we have a cancer growing inside of us and we go to the doctor, we can't just cover it up and say everything's going to be okay. No, we have to say, look, here's the cancer, and here's how we're going to fix it. I want you to do this. If you have a pen, I want you to take out a pen. I want you to write the word "reach" across the palm of your hand right here. You guys are like, what is this guy doing? This guy's crazy. I know. I'm leaving tonight, so it's okay. That, on the palm of your hand, that's going to remind you of the pain that you've experienced. Now some of you guys are like, I'm going to get ink poisoning. I can't do that. Okay, you just need to calm down. Some of you guys have been in church for a long time, like that verse in Leviticus just popped up. You need to calm down, so it's going to be okay. That word is just going to remind you of the pain, the hurt that you had in your past. Forgiveness is not condoning a wrong. Forgiveness is not saying, that's okay. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it's not a big deal. And by the way, if there were crimes that were done to you, those need to be taken care of. Those need to be dealt with proper authorities. If something's happened to you, forgiveness is not excusing a sin. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it's not a big deal. Forgiveness is also not asking God to avenge yourself. You know, I forgive him. God, would you please kill him? And would you please? That's not forgiveness. You're like, hey, I read a verse in Psalms. I saw David say this to God. I'm just trying to be spiritual. David was a pretty good guy, you know, man after God's own heart. No, okay. Forgiveness is not asking God to avenge yourself. Some of these things, like getting over it and forgetting it, they may make forgiveness easier, but they alone in themselves are not forgiveness. I see forgiveness is a two-sided coin. I see number one or number two in your outline. First of all, we have decisional forgiveness. We have decisional forgiveness. God commands us to forgive, so we make the decision that we're going to forgive. Decisional forgiveness is something that we do because it's right. Decisional forgiveness is something we do because it's the right thing to do. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In Colossians chapter 3, it tells us that we're to put some things off. As followers of Christ, we're to put off anger and wrath and hatred and improper speech and unforgiveness. And because we're taking some things off, we need to put some things on. Okay, you're not going to go in the shower and take clothes off when you get out. Okay, you're going to put some new clothes on. All right, that wouldn't be very pretty. Glad y'all put on some clothes this morning on your way into church. Okay, as followers of Christ, we put some things off and we need to put some things on. Things like humility, kindness, patience, love, and forgiveness. Let me say this. You will never be able to forgive without God's help. You won't be able to do it without God's help. You say, Nate, I can't do this Christian life thing. If you say you can't do the Christian life, great. I'm right with you. I can't do it either. The Bible says we were never intended to live the Christian life. Galatians 2:20 says we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it's Jesus Christ that does the work in our hearts of grace and of transformation and of change as we just surrender to him. I think we've all done this. We've tried harder. I'm going to do better. This is the last time I'm... And then we fail. Because when we try to do a spiritual matter in our own strength, it's going to fail every single time. Decisional forgiveness is something that the scripture speaks about more than emotional forgiveness. We all know the time when Peter, I believe it was, came to Jesus, that how many times did you ever forgive? 70 times 7. You know, I mean, we know of these times. This is decisional forgiveness. But on the other side of the coin, it's something that we need to come to a place at this morning, and I'm praying somebody will do that this morning, and that is this. That is emotional forgiveness, number three. And we're going to spend some time here. That is emotional forgiveness. Decisional forgiveness is something that we do because it's right. Emotional forgiveness is something we do because it heals. Okay? So I'm going to do this. I'm going to say decisional forgiveness. We do this because, and you're going to say, it's right. And then I'm going to say emotional forgiveness. We do this because, and you're going to say, it heals. Okay, let's try this, all right? Decisional forgiveness. We do this because. Emotional forgiveness. We do this because. All right, let's try it one more time. And this time we're going to say it like we mean it. We're going to wake up this morning. Here we go, okay? Decisional forgiveness. We do this because. Good. Emotional forgiveness. We do this because. There's definitely a difference between decisional forgiveness over here and emotional forgiveness over here. Example, maybe a friend or somebody, of course it would never be you, but you're talking about how maybe you're talking about your ex, or maybe you're talking about an employee or a family member or something like that, and you're just going off for like 5 minutes, you know, you're going off about how they did this and how they did that, and I can't believe them, the way I treated them like this, and now they did this to me, like who do they think they are, but, you know, and then you ask the person asks you, well, did you forgive them? Oh, of course I forgave them. Okay? Maybe you've forgiven decisionally, but you have not forgiven emotionally. No, how can you even call me on that? Yeah, I forgave them. I love Jesus. That's what we do. Really? Like, can we put a mirror and just, like, look at it? Does it look like we've forgiven them? So here's the question. How do we forgive emotionally? When you get bitter, it affects every relationship that you'll ever get into, whether you realize it or not. Whether it's a coworker, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's a new friend, whatever relationship you have, bitterness puts a strain on it. Bitterness hurts that relationship, and a lot of times bitterness eats us up and we don't even realize it, but a lot of times it's the people around us that see it. How are we going to come to a place of emotional forgiveness this morning? I'm not even saying you want to, but if you were, because I want you to know this. The Bible says that in Jesus there is freedom. There is freedom that Jesus wants to give you from the pains and from the things of your past that have hurt you. I want you to look down at your hand, and we're going to talk about it quickly. Number one, remember it differently. Remember the situation differently. When you look at your hand, and you see reach, and you see the R, I'm not telling you to forget that situation. I'm telling you to remember that situation differently. How about instead of they took the best years of my life, how about God used it to make me who I am today? How about instead of they ruined my life, it's now I can help somebody that went through that same thing. How come they did something that's hurt me forever? How about now I can see how God's grace can bring healing? You see, in God's garden of grace, even broken trees bear fruit. In God's garden of grace, even broken trees bear fruit. There's a verse that we all know. And of course, we're in church, so we all believe the Bible, you know. And I'm going to say this verse, and everybody knows about it. Romans 8:28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But when you believe this verse and you really believe it, it's going to really help you in this process of emotional forgiveness, because you're going to understand this. And I know it hurts. And I know that thing that happened to you, I know you don't like to think about it. I know sometimes some of us are very uncomfortable. I know some of us in here, we've already put the guard up and we've said, no, I'm not even listening anymore. But just hear me. If you really believe this verse, Romans 8:28, and you believe that God can take bad things and make something good about them, something good out of them, it's going to really help you understand that, look, I can come to a place of victory because God can take the worst things and make something good for it. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3, that the Messiah is Jesus, he can turn our ashes into beauty. How can he do that? I don't know. I don't know how to explain that, but I just know this, that God can take the hurts that you face, and rather than this person ruined my life, or this person stole my childhood, or my first marriage, I'll never get that back. Why don't you say, you know, let's view it a little differently. Now I can help somebody else. That situation has made me who I am today. Now I know how to have a healthy, strong marriage because that first marriage didn't work very well. God's plan for you is not to get hurt. The person that hurt you, that was not God hurting you. God's given man a free will. Just like you chose to walk in here, and whether you got a donut or coffee in the lobby, or whether you ate breakfast at your house this morning, or what you're wearing today, God gave you a free will where you can choose your actions, okay? Some of you men are like, I wish I could choose my actions. My wife, just kidding, I'm not going to go there. But you can make choices on what you want to do. Okay. Under the umbrella of God's word, is protection. It's righteousness. It's holiness. And when man goes outside of that and does something wrong to you, like some of you have been wronged, that is not God. That's man exercising his free will away from God, and that was not God's plan for your life, for you to get hurt. Honestly, because some of you right now, like, you are really, you're mad at God because you think it's God's fault. And God did not plan on that happening to you. God did not plan on that happening to you. God wants us to live in a place the Bible calls shalom. There's not even a word in the English language that can be translated, because shalom is a place of peace and well-being. It's a place where I want to be. It's a place where you want to be. The only time that's happened was the Garden of Eden. And guess what ended shalom? Guess what broke shalom? It was man's sin. It was man exercising his free will away from God. And that was never God's plan for that to happen to Adam and Eve. And God's plan for you was not to be hurt like you were hurt. God's plan for you was not for that man to do you wrongly. God's plan for you was not for that person to hurt you. That was not God's plan. And that is not God doing that. That is man exercising his free will away from God. And some of you in your mind, you've wrestled with things and you're like, God, how come this happened? How do I do that? Corrie Ten Boom, maybe you've heard of her. She wrote several books. The Hiding Place is one of them. Fantastic read. She was a Dutch Christian who helped Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust in World War II. And she was imprisoned because of it. She suffered years of torture and years of injustice. But Corrie Ten Boom had this unique perspective. She could see life and the things that happened to her through a biblical perspective. She could see life and the events that happened to her, and she could turn them and look at them through the eyes of Jesus. And this is what she said. Look within and be depressed. Look around and be distressed. Look to God and be at rest. If I say that, it really doesn't hold a lot of weight. I've never been in jail. I've never been in a concentration. But when a lady that's been through what Corrie Ten Boom went through, when she can say, look within and be depressed, look around and be distressed, but look to God and be at rest, that has some weight to it. You see, Corrie Ten Boom didn't forget what happened to her. She just remembered it differently. And because Corrie Ten Boom had those terrible things that happened to her, she was able to help literally tens of thousands of people through her books. Why? Because she took a terrible situation and allowed God to change her outlook on it. And because of that, it happened. God used it in a great way. I'm not asking you to forget that thing that happened to you. I'm asking you just to do this, to remember it differently. Letter E, empathy. Empathy means to understand the feelings of another. You see, I can't be empathetic to that person. I understand. I do. I can't understand their feelings. I understand. You were hurt bad. When I think about empathy, I think about Jesus. Jesus never did anything wrong. Okay? He didn't do anybody wrong. He didn't steal money from somebody. He didn't try to go around somebody's back to get a... Jesus was love and grace and mercy and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. But what happened to him? We know. He went to the cross, publicly humiliated, stripped of his clothes, whipped, beat, crown of thorns placed on his head. By the way, that was for us. And when he was on that cross, you remember what he said? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could they not know what they're doing? They're taking nails. They're putting them in his hands. And what do you mean they don't know what they're doing? This was a planned event. This was not something that was like spur of the moment. No, they framed Jesus. Like, this was the plan. They hated him. How could Jesus say they don't know what they're doing? Yes, they know exactly what they're doing. Or do they? The person that hurt you, the things that have happened to you by certain people, they don't really know what they did. People don't know how much it hurt you by the words that they said in the heat of that moment, in that argument. People don't know what it felt like when they left you out, when you were treated unjustly. Have empathy for them. I know it's difficult, but I'm saying when Jesus saw those people that were crucifying him, he said, look, they don't know what they were doing. If the people knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. If they would have known the baggage that you're carrying around right now, and you say, you don't know that person, okay? Like, I don't know the Roman soldiers either, but I know what Jesus says. They wouldn't have done it. Have empathy towards those people that are, A, apply the gift of grace. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. That's what grace is. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. The word grace actually comes from a word that means gift. Okay, who in here can raise their hand and would say, I'm perfect. I never have done anything wrong in my life. Is there anybody? Okay, I was going to say, come up here, we'll switch places, all right? How many of you in this room would be honest enough to say, hey, I'm in a church, I might be dressed up a little bit, but I've done things wrong? Well, everybody, okay? It's like, hey, I've done things wrong in like the last hour, you know? Came into church, and I'm like, why was she wearing that? You know, just kidding. We've all done things wrong. But let's think about this. You have God the Father over here. Okay, God the Father over here. You have man that had done sin, open rebellion against God. Open rebellion. I mean, goodness gracious, just look around. Okay, I was in Atlanta, Georgia last weekend, and just some things, just open sin, open rebellion against God. But what did God do? God sent Jesus. He gave us the gift of Jesus, and that's how we have salvation. That's how we're saved. Because what God did, God gave us Christ when we did not deserve it. And you say this, that person does not deserve grace. That's what grace is. Grace is giving that person something that they do not deserve. And I'm telling you, this is an important part of the healing process. This is the important part of having emotional forgiveness, is by applying grace to these people, by applying grace to the person that's hurt you, that's wronged you. There's going to be times at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church when somebody's going to say something about you. Okay, when you're going to look on social media and all your buddies are at a ball game or they're out hunting or they're out shooting guns or all the ladies are on a shopping trip or something and you didn't get invited. Can we just be real? Guess what's going to happen? Your feelings are going to get hurt. But apply the gift of grace to them. There's going to be times when somebody says something about you and they probably don't mean it, and it was probably miscommunication, and you know, you got to just apply the gift of grace to them. Healthy churches distribute grace freely amongst the body because healthy churches know that they can never give more grace than has already been extended to them. And in this church, if this body is going to be a healthy body of what God wants us to do at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, we're going to have to give grace to one another. We're going to have to give love to one another. Why? Not because the person deserves it. If somebody deserved it, it's not grace. But it's because we have been given grace. I encourage you to apply the gift of grace. Letter C, submit it with a ceremony. If we're going to have emotional forgiveness in our lives, and I hope and pray that we come to a place of that, we're going to have to remember it differently. We're going to have empathy towards that person. We're going to have to apply the gift of grace, but we're going to have to cement it with a ceremony. Cement your forgiveness. There's a lot of ceremonies I've heard of people that they've done to forgive. Maybe they've gone to somebody and given them a note, or maybe they've burned a note of the wrongdoing that's happened to them, or whatever. But there's a lot of things people have done to have a ceremony to cement their forgiveness. Now, a ceremony in itself doesn't mean that you've forgiven, but it's a reminder of the forgiveness, the decision that you made on that day. It's like a marriage. Some of you dads and your daughters have been married off, and you can think about the amount of money that you spent on the wedding, and it's like, wow. $5,000, oh, you want a $4,000 dress, okay, you know, like food, you want it entirely catered, like, come on, what are you thinking, you know, you have a wedding, and you're like, why did we spend all this money, but it's because the wedding is a ceremony, it's a reminder, it's a commitment that you make to that person, and you can look back 10 years, 20 years, and say, at that ceremony, I cemented my love towards that man, towards that woman. And you can look back on that ceremony, you could say, it was on that day. It was on that day I committed myself to them. The marriage ceremony itself, man, I hope you ladies don't like hit me after the service or something, but the wedding ceremony itself and the whole big picture of a marriage of life together really isn't like a huge deal. It's not. It's what happens after. But it's the ceremony that's important because of what the ceremony symbolizes. In America, we have ceremony, we have July 4th, we have all these things to remember the past. Do you know that the cross of Jesus Christ is something that we wear on our necks, we have on our Bibles, we remember it all the time? Why? Because that was a ceremony of God's forgiveness to us. If we're going to have forgiveness, we need to have a time where a ceremony, letter H. Hold on to forgiveness when doubt occurs. Hold on to forgiveness when doubt occurs. The anger and the bitterness might slip up and come back. The doubt may come back. The bitterness might pop up. But we have to hold on to the fact that, okay, I decided to emotionally forgive them. I'm not going to remember it that way. I'm going to remember it differently. If I were to take, if you're one of those people and you're like, okay, you've just talked for 25, 30 minutes to me, put it down in one phrase. If I were to take this whole message, okay, and just put it in one phrase, this is where I'd be, okay? So if you've been sleeping, just wake up for like 10 seconds and then go right back to sleep. You'll wake up and you'll have lunch. It's going to be great. Here it is, okay? You can experience the freedom of forgiveness by letting go and trusting God. You can experience the freedom of forgiveness by letting go and trusting God. Folks, this ain't working anymore. This has been too long. This, like, carrying it around, barking at people. Ah! You know what? Because you're carrying around something that God never, and I'm about to put this down because I'm getting sweaty up here. Because you're carrying around something that God never intended you to carry. And we can have the freedom of forgiveness when we let go and trust God and let God. The Bible says that, like we talked about earlier, that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for our sins. Not because we deserved it, not because we've done something good, not because we can earn it, but out of sheer love and grace for us. And the Bible says that when we put our trust in Jesus, we turn away from our sin, and we turn away from maybe something we're holding on to, and put our trust fully in Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation. The Bible says that we're, like what Brother Moore said a minute ago, we're saved. We're saved from God's wrath, and we could have a home in heaven. And maybe you're in here. Maybe you've gone to church for years, or maybe you're just new here. Maybe you hear about this forgiveness, and I want you to know that you can experience forgiveness through Jesus Christ if you've never been saved. You can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior today. And the Bible says that you can be saved. I don't know what brought you here today. I don't know where you are in your life today. But I do know this, that you can walk out of this room relieved. And you can have emotional forgiveness because the weights aren't working. Let go and trust God. And together, we can reach a place of emotional forgiveness. Can we pray together? Can I have a word of prayer with you guys? Jesus, I don't know what people are carrying, but God, in a room this size with all these people in it, there's got to be somebody, God, that's having a tough time with something. And God, I pray for the sake of them, for the sake of their family,